Morning, Cornerstone Church. You guys have always been pretty good at that, saying good morning when I say good morning to you. We're in a sermon series called Church Building Project, and we're talking about how we're going to build Jesus Church to change the community, to change the school, to change our state, to change our lives, and to change our nation. And if we're going to do all those things, then we need to be clear on what Jesus Church is, what Jesus Church does, and then how we as Cornerstone Church uniquely fit into that overall big picture. And so we're in the third week of that. Last 2 weeks we talked about what Jesus Church is and what Jesus Church does last week. If you missed those sermons, you can go online to ccblaine.org. We just got a new webpage, which looks great. I'm really excited for it. We're still working through some of those details about getting it to look good on mobile devices, but I'm so excited for that. If you missed those sermons, go online and listen to those. 2 weeks ago, we talked about who Jesus Church is, and it's not a building, it's not a concert, it's the people of God. It's you guys. And so when we talk about building Jesus Church, we're talking about building us, building you, building each other, and then building people who aren't even here yet to come and be a part of Jesus Church. And then what Jesus Church does is basically real simple, anything it takes so Jesus is worshipped. We'll sing any type of music. We will do any type of thing. Like a couple weeks ago, we gave out free cheese curds after the service. We blew up the bouncy houses. We had a great party. If that will get people who won't come to church to come and meet you guys and hopefully meet the Lord, we'll do that. We'll do whatever it takes so Jesus is worshipped. And so the church is us doing whatever it takes Jesus is worshipped. And then how does Cornerstone Church fit into that unique plan? How are we uniquely contributing to Jesus' church? Because there's a lot of great churches. Why Cornerstone Church versus any of the other churches in our community? And when you look at how our church is uniquely contributing, we've got a lot of measures of success, and I just want to say right going forward, that makes us unique as well. We live in a time in America where Christians are walking away from the church. The church in America is shrinking, and as a whole, more churches are shrinking than growing. And so the fact that we're growing, that we have these success stories, that makes us unique. And we might not think about that all the time, but honestly, every day when I sit down, I thank God that what he's doing in our church. Because I can't do it. I can't do it alone. You can't do it. You can't do it alone. We need God to be doing these things, and he's moving in our church, and that's fantastic. And so you look at how our church is unique, and we could point to some indicators, some of our goals. We have goals to make sure that, we're doing what we can to go forward here. And one of our goals is small groups. That's where people build relationships. And that's where the church, you guys get to know each other deeply. And the body of Christ is strengthened in small groups. And this year we've got more small groups than ever. We've got 11 men's and women's groups, soon to be 12 actually. And then we've got two specifically men's and then two specifically women's. So that's 15 small groups. That's more than we've ever had. And that's awesome. That's a huge measure of success. Another thing that you could point to is that we've got higher attendance than we've ever had. And when you think about attendance, we're here on Sunday mornings, but I want us to think about Wednesday nights for a moment. If you've been here for more than 3.5, 4 years, you remember when we didn't have youth coming to meet on Wednesdays together, that this is their small group. This is our youth. They come together on Wednesday nights. They get to know each other deeply, and they grow and follow the Lord together. That wasn't happening 4 years ago, and then God has just done this great thing. And we started off with like 6 high school kids, and soon it became 8 and 12, and then we added K-5. And now we'll have 40, sometimes 60-plus kids on a Wednesday night. And that doesn't include all of the adult leaders in the building as well. It's incredible. If you've never been there, we showed a video of it a few weeks ago. If you've never been to our Wednesday nights, just maybe swing by sometime at 6:45, 7 o'clock, and take a look at what God is doing. We meet at Cross Point Church off of Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids. And so God is doing this great thing in our youth. He's also been blessing us as a church, as adults as well. We've been around for about 10 years, and in the last 2 years, we have set a record for every month for attendance. Some of those was just last spring in 2017. And so more people are coming. God is working through this church, and it's a great place to be. And I thank God every week, every day, because, things don't have to be going this well. God is blessing us. Not just a few things. There's so many other things we could point to. If you were here on August 23rd at the baptism, it was such an awesome moment, and God's Spirit was just there so powerfully. It was this beautiful evening. We got together. We worshiped the Lord. We had fun with each other, and we celebrated what God has done for us in our lives. I mean, you could point to August 23rd as a huge win. You know, if I'm going to be honest, every time the win is every time that any one of you guys or anyone else in our children's ministry or beyond comes to an event, comes to a service, and connects with God through worship or prayer or through the word, I mean, that's a huge win. Anytime a congregation member helps another congregation member, that's a huge win. Anytime we have a service event, that's a huge win. And so there's all these ways, things that you could point to about how our church is uniquely contributing to the kingdom of God. But I think there are three qualities in our church that are responsible for the great things that are happening here. Among all the churches in Blaine, many of them not growing, some of them are, I think there are three things that make Cornerstone unique, which explains why God is blessing us. And that is that we are relational, we're uniquely relational, we're uniquely biblical, and we're uniquely loving. And that's a really rare combination to have all three. And I love all churches. I've never been to a church that I wouldn't recommend, right? I've never been to a church I wouldn't recommend. I love churches. But to be uniquely relational, biblical, and loving is an incredibly rare thing, even in the church. And Jesus' church needs to be relational. When you're thinking about, why would I invite somebody to Cornerstone Church, or why would I come to Cornerstone Church versus another church? Jesus' church is relational, and we're relational. So John 13:35, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And so immediately, he just says, you'll know, the people will know you're my church if you have this relationship with each other. Right from the beginning, Jesus' church, they've got to be in relationship. Galatians 6, chapter 1, I mean, getting really deep in here, Paul's talking to the church, like, this is what the church is supposed to do. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be supporting each other when we're struggling. We're supposed to be supporting and helping each other, and then we're supposed to be holding each other accountable. And what does that take? It takes relationship. You've got, in the church, you've got to know each other. We've got to know each other. You've got to know a pastor who knows your name, a children's director knows your name, a youth director who knows your name, a small group leader, a person in your small group, someone who you serve along with on Sunday mornings or in children's ministry who says, hey, gives you a Facebook message, texts you, calls you, and says, hey, I noticed you haven't been to that thing lately, to the Sunday morning service or to Wednesdays. How are things going? Is everything all right? We've got to know each other to know when we're struggling, to know when we need support. That takes relationship. If we're going to follow Jesus together, the first thing we have to do is that we got to know each other. And I think Cornerstone Church, I think we're really good at that. And I would honestly say we're uniquely good at that as well. We have, on Sunday mornings we come, and if you look at your bulletin on the back, there's steps to connect. The first step to connect is come on Sunday mornings and worship. The next step is to serve, you know, start doing something with the people around you. And then once you start to get to know them and feel comfortable with them, get in a small group and go deeper. Our small groups meet every other week. And what we do is we get together, we learn about each other, we talk about each other, and it's like a support group for life. And it's a great thing to do, it's a great thing to get involved with, and traditionally at Cornerstone Church, we've had between 50 and 75% of our church in small group. 50, 75% of our church, not our weekly attendance, but our church as a whole. And that's important too. Like, our church is bigger than the people right here. There's, you know, maybe half of us went to the cabin or have a wedding or whatever. There's more of us, and I would say this week, we'll probably have as many people meeting in small groups, if not more, than we have right here this morning. That's awesome. It's people getting to know each other, to support each other, and hold each other accountable. And so as a church, part of our mission is not just to come and worship Jesus on Sunday morning. We want people to worship Jesus throughout their week, throughout their lives, and how they live, with how they witness to others. Small group is where we get that strength throughout the week to do that. And there's a lot of churches, I think we're uniquely good at that. The mega church, why would you invite somebody to Cornerstone Church over the mega church? Well, because we're relational. Now, if you're looking at churches that are succeeding, the mega church is succeeding really well. They're doing great things. Love mega churches. I love them. I love those ones. I love Eagle Brook. I love Emmanuel. I love how they're reaching people for Christ. But the mega church is inherently non-relational. And I'm not trying to slam them. I'm just saying, when you get that big, you come in on Sunday mornings, and somebody's got to know that you're new. And if they're good enough, if they're organized enough to see that you're new and greet you, that's wonderful. But then when you come back the next week, you're not going to see anybody that you met last week. And I worked in a very large church, and I did my internship at a mega church. They do great things, but one of the things that they really lack is is the relational side of church, which is essential if we're going to follow Jesus together. I have a friend who is a pastor in the area at a great relational church that's growing and doing great things. And he was going to a conference, and he sat next to one of the megachurch pastors. They've got an attendance of 20,000 people every week. And my friend said, you know, I really believe in small groups and relationships. I'm just thinking to myself, like, my church is like, you know, a couple hundred people. And every week I get up front, we talk about relationships, we talk about getting in small groups. It's like every week I got the opportunity to influence 200 people to do that and grow in following Jesus together. And then I sit next to this guy who's got 20,000 people. Like, if I can get him on board with relational ministry, I can affect 20,000 people. So he says, he turns to the guy and he says, what percent of your church is involved in small groups? And he says, 17% of our weekly attendance. Now, especially at a big church, people aren't coming every week. All 20,000 aren't there in attendance, you know, however many members are not there every week. So they're taking the percentage of their weekly attendance, not their whole church. It's probably more like 10, maybe less. 10% of the people in small groups getting to actually know each other. My friend starts talking about the importance of relational ministry. He turns to the pastor and says, when was the time that you grew most spiritually? And whenever you ask somebody that question, what do they say? A relationship. It was my parents. They raised me in the love of the Lord. It was my small group. It was my friends in college. It was my neighbor who kept reaching out to me and kept loving me until I finally came to church and knew the Lord. It's always a relationship. And the pastor, he goes, how did you grow most? The pastor mentions a relationship. He's like, how are you guys? What's your plan to make your church relational? So people grow and reach their most potential spiritually. And our church, we're uniquely good at that. As I mentioned, 50 to 75% in small groups. I'm super excited for this fall. I love my small group. I host at my house. It's so much fun. And if you're not in a small group, I encourage you to come and let me know. We'll find a good small group for you. And why is relational church so important? Like, why is it so important to be in a relationship? Well, here's the deal. There's many different things I could point out to you. Support, accountability. I think one really unique thing is that in a relational church, you get the practical opportunity to grow in understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just in teaching or word or thought, but in practice. Because you know why? Anytime you enter a relationship, it's only a matter of time before you sin against them and they sin against you. Because we're all sinners. And frankly, that sounds miserable, doesn't it? But it gives us a practical opportunity to actually live out our faith with other believers. People would frankly rather just go to a church. A lot of people would rather just go to a church where they go in, nobody knows them, they walk out, nobody knows them, because why? They never sinned against anybody and they're never sinned against. But it's important to be in a relational church and to do this with each other so that we can grow in understanding the gospel. How do we grow to understand the gospel when we sin against each other and people sin against us? Well, first, we grow in understanding what it means to repent. The first step towards fixing our relationship with God is that he gives us the opportunity to repent. And to say, Lord, and to humble ourselves. And say, God, I have wronged you and I have wronged others. I need your forgiveness. And that's the first step. God is all about fixing relationships. And that's the first step to fixing our relationship with him. And when we sin against somebody else in a relational church where we all know each other, we're going to be challenged sometimes even to ask for forgiveness. Somebody's, you know, that was not, you probably should go apologize there. And you're going to be, people are going to know each other so much that not only are you going to feel the Holy Spirit convicting to go to apologize, other people are going to be like, hey, maybe you should go fix that relationship. And you're going to grow in humbling yourself. It's so important. Humbling yourself to repent and say, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you. Will you please forgive me? Because that's the first step in accepting the gospel of Jesus, is recognizing our need for Jesus. And so that's one way we grow. Then the other way we grow is when people sin against us and we get an opportunity to forgive. What's your natural reaction when somebody sins against you? To stand up for your rights. I've been wronged. Grr! Want revenge. But when we sin against God, that's not what he does to us. He shows us mercy and forgiveness through Jesus. And then he challenges us to do the same to each other. Every time we forgive somebody, we grow an understanding of what God has done for us. And so in a relational church, in any relationship, you have the opportunity to grow practically in understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there's really no compromise here. If we're going to be the church, we have to be relational. And we have to be forgiving, and we have to be humble. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, Jesus talks about fixing our relationships. That's what God is all about, fixing relationships. That's what a relational church is all about. We're going to keep growing together, fixing our relationships with each other through repentance and forgiveness. Jesus says it's so important that if you're offering your gift at the altar, if you're worshiping, Remember that your brother, and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. If you're worshiping God, and it's so important to fix our relationships with each other, that if you're worshiping God and you remember, I've been ignoring it, I've been avoiding thinking about it, but I really wronged that person. I really need to apologize. God says, go do it now. It's more important. Go fix that relationship immediately, because that's what God is all about. Matthew chapter 18, if you sinned against somebody else, you need to go fix that relationship. If they've sinned against you, you need to fix that relationship. Matthew 18:15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. You're not supposed to cut off the relationship because they did something wrong to you. You're not supposed to go gossip behind their back, tear them down. You're supposed to go and talk to him and fix it. Why is this so important? Because we're going to be together forever and eternity. That was God's plan all along. It's what he always wanted. We're going to have relationships that are eternal. God never meant for relationships to be broken by death or by sin. And so we need to fix our relationships right now and treat them like the eternal thing that they were meant to be. Matthew 18:21. Peter, listening to all this sounds really hard. He says, comes up to him and says, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? Oh, this is tough. Hopefully this doesn't happen a lot. How often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus to him says, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Now, seven was the number of completeness. We don't really think about that in our culture. When you're trying to represent completeness, you'd say seven. Man, this thing is sevened up beyond belief. That's what you say when it's completely a disaster. Or, you know, man, that was 70 awesome. It was completely awesome. And so when Jesus says 77 times, he's saying, you need to do this completely as always. You need to always forgive this way. Because our relationships are meant to be fixed. They were never meant to be broken. And so relational churches are important because we get the opportunity to practice that with each other. To follow Jesus, we have to know each other, and then we got to be committed more to each other's future than each other's past. We need to be thinking about how we're going to be going forward together more than what we've done to each other that was inappropriate. We need to be able to fix it and move on and look forward and not be dwelling on the past. We actually need to forgive. And I think that Cornerstone Church is amazing at these things, at being relational and being forgiving. So that's why I think one of the ways that Cornerstone Church contributes uniquely to Jesus' church. The next way that we contribute uniquely is that we are Jesus-centered and biblical. And I know every church will claim to be that, right? But I mean, like, that's really more and more rare. That's really not good. So we are Jesus-centered and biblical because we take Jesus' commandments in Matthew 28:19 very seriously. All right, we take it really seriously. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the parts of my teaching that are culturally non-offensive. Wouldn't want anybody to get upset by any of the truth that I say, so only say the parts that won't make people mad. Oh, wait. No, that was the wrong translation. It actually says this. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, we are separated from God because of our sin. We are separated from God. We don't know God naturally. Therefore, he has to teach us about who he is and what he's like. That's the story of the Bible. God reconciling people who've rebelled against him. Since we don't know what God is like naturally, we have to listen to what Jesus says. And therefore, he teaches us in his word. And we look to the word to find out what God is like, not to what our culture says or not to what our inner desires say. And that will offend all of us at some point. You know why? Because not all of our desires are godly. And that means we're going to read through this Bible. We're going to see the teaching of God. We're not perfect. We're not just like God. And so at different points, we're going to see the teaching of Jesus Christ and go, yow! That challenges what I want to do or what I think should be done. And here at Cornerstone, that's what we do. We're looking to observe all that Jesus teaches. Now, In the church, there's a growing movement about not teaching some of the things that will offend culture. So some churches will literally have the strategy that Sunday morning, we're not going to teach the whole Bible. All right, we're not going to teach about this or that or the other thing. We're gonna hide these things so that people don't see them, and hopefully they're not offended at that. And the other strategy is, under pressure, many churches are turning away from the teachings of Christ and interpreting them in new ways in order to agree with the culture. So this has been around for a long time. Jesus is 2,000 years old, and throughout church history, we've interpreted many passages one way, but now that our culture is pushing really hard on some areas, we're like, you know what we're going to do? We're actually going to believe that the scriptures say this thing over here instead. No, nobody's ever believed that in the past, but we're going to start doing it now. And that way, there's no conflict anymore. Culture will agree with us. And so a lot of churches will hide the Bible from culture, or a lot of churches will change the Bible for culture. But here at Cornerstone, we don't believe that the Bible is to be hidden from culture or changed for culture, but it's meant to transform culture. The Word of God shouldn't be hidden, it shouldn't be changed, but it should literally change us. It should change us in this room, and we want to invite other people who don't know God and don't know what a blessing it is to live in a godly way. We want to invite them to follow Jesus with us and to experience those blessings as well from following God's Word. And that means there's nothing in here that you won't hear on a Sunday morning. Oftentimes, I'll preach through books of the Bible going verse by verse, just so we don't skip anything, just so we don't skip the hard parts. I got a hard part coming up. And there's plenty of times where I have like a sleepless night beforehand because I don't want to offend anybody. And I'm praying, God, would you please give me the love and the wisdom to be able to preach your Word and bring your Word in a way that seems life-giving and blessing in the way you intended it. Right? Because I know people are going to be challenged by that. And I don't want to add offense to what is already there. I don't want to add in what I say and what I preach. I don't want to add any difficulty from people who are already not wanting to do what your Word says. I don't want to add any difficulty there to make them not want to do that anymore. And there's a lot of things that are challenging, but we're not going to hide anything. And I can't do it all in one week because it's a big book. But if you come long enough, there's not a single topic in here that we won't talk about on a Sunday morning. And that makes us uniquely Jesus-centered biblical. Why is that important? And why is it important to come to a church that does that rather than a church that hides or a church that changes the Word? Well, if we can't be fully Christian here, I mean, we're going to be fully Christian when we worship God, right? With each other. If we can't be fully Christian here because we're afraid of offending people, then how can you expect to live a fully Christian life when you leave here out in society? Right? If we can't even do it here, if we're like, you know, I don't even want to talk about this while I'm here, then how can we expect you to follow that teaching out there of Jesus Christ? And so we have got to be relational. We've got to be fully biblical. We've got to be fully Christian. And that starts when we gather on Sunday morning. At Cornerstone Church, why you should invite somebody here is all those hard parts of the Bible that nobody understands. Many people don't understand. In fact, you know, we're at an all-time low nationally in biblical literacy. You come here, you're actually going to talk about it and learn about why it's in there and why it's good. I think one of the reasons why churches do that, why they hide it or they change it, is because they don't trust that actually God's Word is good in everything. They haven't done the hard work. They haven't taken the time. It takes time to study and to pray and to seek interpretations of the passage throughout church history and find out what it means so that you can trust that it's good and you can talk about it. And here, that is a goal of our Sunday morning, is to present God's Word in its entirety, because God's Word is good in everything. And when you come to church, what we do, our values for preaching, is that the main points of the passage have got to come from the Bible. That way you're not getting the speaker, you're not getting my best ideas. That would be a disaster. I'd certainly mislead you. You're not getting my best ideas, you're getting God's best ideas, which he's trying to guide us and communicate with us through. I get real uncomfortable when I listen to preachers and they give a sermon and they don't open the Bible. And they're just like, hey, you know what we should do is we should raise our kids this way. And I've actually had preachers I really like who I listen to and I'm like, boy, he's saying some good things, but I'm thinking, why isn't he opening the Bible? We got to know where it's coming from so that we know we're not getting this guy's best ideas, but we're getting God's Word. And so why Cornerstone Church? Because we're going to get that here. And then also, I want you to know that when I prepare a sermon, you'll never hear anything new from me. And that, you know, in a culture where we love new things, new gadgets, new phones, when it comes to theology and understanding God, new is not good, okay? Because it's been around for a long time. And if after thousands and thousands and thousands of years of following God, if, if I stand up here and I say, hey, you know what? I read this verse today and I think it means that we can really do anything we want. I've done it. I've proven it. We'll just do whatever. I mean, that's bad. That's bad if I've come up with something that nobody's thought of and that God has not revealed to anybody in 7,000 years. It's just not going to happen. So when you come here, I make sure that everything I preach is found in church history. I mean, it might not always be the majority of the viewpoints, like worshiping Mary. Sorry, did I say that loud? But it's going to be it's going to be found deeply in the church throughout history, the points of the sermon which are presented. And so you can be sure that you're not getting my best viewpoints, and you're going to be sure you're not getting viewpoints that are created by me or whoever is preaching that week. So we're uniquely relational, we're uniquely biblical, and this is the most important, it's the most important, but I think I can summarize it the fastest. We're uniquely loving. And churches, in general, tend to bend one way or the other. They're like, you know, we really value the rules of God. And then other churches are like, we're really going to disregard the rules of God, and we're just going to love people and let them do whatever they want. And to be both, to actually have a value for God's word and transforming ourselves and repenting of our sin and following Jesus and then loving people is incredibly unique and rare, and I think our church does that really, really well. The whole point of God's rules, which are important, they are what it looks like to love each other and love God. Love is the point of all of that. And, you know, I mention it a lot, but if you go online to ccblaine.org, in September of 2015, we preached a sermon series called Jesus Loves You More Than the Rules. It's probably the most important thing that we can ever talk about, is that the rules of God are important, but they're what it looks like to be loving. If we're not loving, then we're missing the whole point. And so we're gonna talk about the truth. We're going to challenge each other to follow it. But you know, we're going to love each other more than that. And our church is not going to be about following the rules. It's going to be primarily about loving people and loving Jesus and loving God, because that's the whole point of them. We need to love people more than the rules of religion. When we broke the rules, God didn't come to condemn us because his precious rules were broken. He came to save us. And it's really strange to me, too, that a lot of churches that really are intense about getting into the Word and finding out what it means and understanding those rules of God, it's really strange to me that a lot of those churches are sometimes the most angry and come across as the most, like, upset with people because they're breaking the rules. I mean, if you really care about God's Word and you really get into it, you should be the happiest person around. You should be the most loving person around. I want, when I preach, and whoever preaches, like, we want to have, like, the truth of a John Piper and a Mark Driscoll. But, boy, do we want to have the love of Joel Osteen, right? I mean, you got to have both. You got to have the truth so that you're leading people the correct way. But why isn't the person who's into God's Word, why aren't they the happiest person around? Because God's Word is all about love. And I think, as a Cornerstone Church, we're amazing at that. We had a, you know, when you think about loving people, we had this elderly lady who has since actually gone on to become a missionary. Just an awesome story from our church. And there was a guy who came in, big old dude, you know, 6'3", who was dressed as a woman, makeup and everything, high heels. And I'm sitting there, and I was pretty new here, actually, and I saw this this elderly lady just make a beeline right over him, start talking to him, and I was just fascinated. I was like, I wonder how that's going, you know? And I went up, and it seemed to be going good, and they're, you know, smiling and talking. I went up to her, and I said, how did that go? And she goes, oh, great. And I go, did you feel comfortable going up? What did you guys talk about? And she said, oh, we talked about everything. My brother does that. I was like, that's so awesome. Our church is just fantastic at that. Like, we know the rules of God. We value them. They're what it looks like to be loving. But if someone breaks the rules, we do a great job of still loving them. Why? Because we've broken the rules. One of the reasons I'm a Christian is not because I think I'm doing a great job of following the rules, but because I know I haven't. And I find forgiveness in that through Jesus Christ. And just like God forgives me for how I break the rules, I better be merciful and loving for other people who do as well. And we should do that. And I think we do a great job of that. There's a difference between loving the rules and loving people, and God is unashamedly in love with you. That's why when you broke the rules and we break the rules, he doesn't cast us out. He tries to save us and offer salvation through Jesus Christ. He's totally for us. He's totally in love with us, and we need to be a church that communicates that to people as well. And I think we do a great job. And so, since we are these three things, of course we're not perfect at all. That's why the whole first part is about forgiveness and asking for repentance from each other. We're not perfect at all. We do a great job of these things. I think it's one of the main reasons why God is blessing us and we're growing. And so when you look at a measures of success, one of the things that's going to happen here, and our church has been through a ton of adversity. I just want to mention that for a moment too. We've been around for like 10 years. And we're thinking about planning new churches. We're getting that stage where we're growing. And we're like, well, what do we do when we add the next 50 people? What's our plan? What's our goal? And it's new churches. And so I've been going to church planning meetings and trying to meet church planners and find out how they do it. I just want to say that you never plan a church the way we planted a church. I found out that like statistics show and blah, 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 that if you don't have 100 people and $100,000, you just don't do it. You just don't do it. Well, our church, God has been doing something here because like, according to statistics, there's very little chance that Cornerstone Church should have made it. We didn't have 100 people. We didn't have 100 grand. Yet God has really been doing things in our church. We just keep going forward. I don't know if you know this, but the founding pastor died very suddenly from melanoma. Things are going great. The church is growing. And Pastor Ron gets sick and passes away. And yet we keep going and we keep moving forward. Because God's doing something here. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than you. I want to be here for a long time. But if something were to happen to me, this church will be just fine because God is doing something. It's bigger. Our church just keeps going forward, and God just keeps blessing us in what it's going to look like in the future, and it's going to happen. Whether it's in 2 years or five or another 10, we're going to start planning new churches. This is cool. We've had so many people go check in. Oh, I deleted that slide. Rats. Time constraint. If you go to Google Maps and just type in Blaine, Minnesota, right on top of the high school, you know what it says? Cornerstone Church of Blaine. They think that we're the high, it's great, I love it. And so we're making our presence known, at least to Google. We meet in the high school, and so what's going to happen is we're going to keep growing. And were you here on September 10th, and there was like 270 people here? And we had those, I mean, it's a buzz, right? It's awesome. Were you here at Rising Stars, where we had like, 290 or whatever? I mean, there's this buzz, and what's going to happen? We're going to keep growing. We're like 150 to 170 in regular attendance now. Pretty soon we'll get to be like 220 and 270. And what's our goal? Is our goal, I already gave it away, is our goal just to meet in a big room and then just pile and pile, pile more people on here? That's not our vision. That makes us unique among Jesus' church as well. Our goal is not just to have one big giant church. Why? Because we always want to be relational. And so as we grow, there's going to be that buzz. It's going to be awesome. And then what's going to happen is we're going to get big enough that we're going to start to lose that relationality. People are going to come, they're going to go, we're not going to know their name, they're not going to connect with anybody, and we got an eye on that, we got a plan for that, as soon as that starts happening. And it happens differently for every church. Some churches it's 75, some churches it's 500, but we're looking at them. So let's just say it's 250. That starts kind of happening. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have a meeting. We're going to sit around in the meeting. We're going to say, who's from Lionel Lakes? And we're going to raise our hand. Who's from Andover? We're going to spend a lot of time praying. We're going to find out where we have a large group of people, where a church is needed, and where God's calling us to. And then we're going to send a pastor and a church planter there, and we're going to plant it in, say, Andover, and they're going to start meeting the high school, and we have another Cornerstone Church of Blaine in Andover. And we're not going to have a video screen of me. That makes us unique in Jesus' church right now. Now, I think highly of myself, but why in the world would more than 100 people need to listen to what I have to say? And so what we're going to do is we're going to actually train new leaders, new pastors, new people, new elders. And they're going to go, and yet we're still all going to be connected. Because that way, when we need to do something, we can mobilize and make a huge impact. You know what's going to happen when we do that? We're going to go from 250 down back to 170. And we're going to do it again. And then we're going to throw out another church, maybe in Lionel Lakes. And you know what? Andover, that by that time, they're going to have grown from 50 to 200 or whatever. And they're going to do it again. Pretty soon, we're going to have churches all over. Relational churches that are unique in the kingdom of God. All over the northern metro. Might happen in 2, might happen in 20, but it's going to happen. That's our vision, and I think that is unique, and that's something to get excited about. When you're going to church, and you're like, why would I invite my neighbors and my friends here? Well, we're relational, we're biblical, we're loving, we've got a plan for the future. To change this school, to change the community, to change the state, and to change our world through Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, as we talk about the future and all the ways you've blessed us, God, we thank you for moving here, and we humble ourselves and say, thank you, Lord, for blessing us, because we don't deserve it, God. It's not like we're earning it, God, but you are just showing your mercy on us and as a church. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for that incredible blessing. And then, God, we pray that you bless us, that we could be faithful to you, Lord, that as we go forward, that we could use our lives, our relationships, our finances, our goals, our conversations, our invitations as a way to continue what you want to do through our church that's unique and through our church that contributes to your overall church in the world. God, I pray you bless us that we could be on that mission. And then I pray, God, I look, just look forward and I see that vision which you've given us. And God, we know that you will do it. And Lord, I pray you give us the faith to believe in it and the faith to accomplish that mission. Lord, we pray all of these things in your name, Jesus. And we also pray for the offering which we're about to receive. Lord, thank you for giving to us. And Father, we pray that you'd bless it as we give back to you, that you'd bless it to go accomplish this vision that you've given through Four Cornerstone Church of Blaine in this community. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.